And welcome back here on Katy Country 94 on the Sports Ticket, katycountry94.com as well. And we're pleased to be joined by one of the legendary coaches of high school basketball here in North Central Kansas, Darrell Walters, who won a lot of games and had a lot of great players there at Osborne, especially with the Lady Bulldogs there for a time. First of all, thanks for taking a little time to join us. Coach, how you holding up? How's everything going for you?
Just doing pretty good, Dusty. I'm in retirement. I retired in 2004 from teaching, so I've been blessed by guys having some health and have had a good retirement. I did coach up till 2007, girls, and it was always my desire to. I knew when we had those good girls, a lot of people would say, well, anybody could coach them, which they probably could have, but I decided I wanted to hang in there a little longer coaching, so. And see if I could get a team back to state. And so then when we did 2007 again, I said, that's enough, and we'll leave it for the younger people, by golly. But I'm retirement's good to me, and I've been blessed with pretty good health. And of course, this corona deal is everybody's struggling with a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I appreciate you guys trying to keep the sports going on your network radio station, because there just isn't much sports stuff going on without you guys making an extra effort.
We enjoy it. We've had a lot of fun, playing some of the older games and going back and talking with some of the coaches. You're kind of an interesting case because you've been in it a long time. You've gone through a lot throughout your career, and I know you graduated from Portis, right? And had some success there at high school in Portis, right?
1960, Dusty, and we went to state both my junior and senior year, but when we got there, we exactly didn't do too well, so we got beat first round, but we had some good teams back then, and of course, in see, it would have been in 1956, the Bulldogs this year got beat the boys, and as well as I do, it's probably one of the best teams around, but that happens sometimes. But anyway, the Portis Tigers in 1956 was 21-0. Of course, that's when they played little schools. There was two tournaments they had to play to get state.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think they were 21-0 or 22-0 and got beat in the finals of the last round. And I can't remember whether it seemed like it was Green or somebody up in that area, up in North Central and Northeast Kansas, mm-hmm. that guys that upset them. So that happened. So we're still struggling a little bit with the getting beat there, and as well as I did, we had a heck of a team, but that happens, just because you got some material, you got to have some luck, and you got to have some breaks, and they had one of those games that you want to forget, and that's all it takes, by golly.
Yeah. So you, again, at Portis, and then I read where, you kind of enjoyed that experience at state and kind of had made your mind up that from there you kind of wanted to have a chance to help other kids have those kind of experiences, right?
That's exactly right. I did. Portis didn't have football or anything like that. And so basketball was, and we did play baseball. We had some pretty good baseball teams through the years. But anyway, in basketball, we that was about the Portis blood. Everybody used to collect in the Walters Lumber Company there right on Main Street. You go by that. That's where everybody collected in the old days, and had a wooden stove set in there, and they come in on Saturdays and mornings and talk the ball games over, and so it was life and blood, and didn't take me too long to realize that, that was about all there was to do in Portis. Dad put up a goal, and, I spent hours and shooting and got pretty good at it, but how it is. There's always people better, and I didn't go to college or anything to play sports. I had a scholarship offered to Iowa. I think it was some junior college back then, but I didn't want to go that far from home. So, of course, I just went to Fort Hays State.
Got the education degree there and the coaching, and looked like you went out to Utica right after that. I'm from Waukini, so you weren't too far south of where the farm was there. So you did a lot in Utica, didn't you? You coached a lot in Utica, didn't you?
Yeah, I was there 6 years, by golly, and it It was a great experience for me. In 1965, I started at Utica. Got $5,000 a year. I coached all the boys, all the girls, junior high, high school, and everything there was. And in fact, the interesting thing, you know, how you did in those old days, you know, you end up on first thing I had to teach was geography, and you know, I don't know if I'd even ever had a geography class in my life, and hardly been out of state of Kansas, and I ended up teaching that for one class. I can't remember that, but it was a great experience. We had some good teams there, and Dave Burrell, he was a heck of a player. He graduated in 71, so I started him and Kirk Foster. Foster played at Kansas Wesleyan. And Dave Burrell went to Barton County, and I think he was all conference or got some honors of some kind there. So, you know, we had a great kids. Depth-wise, in those little schools, of course, was the problem. And there was a town called McCracken that used to have a heck of a, and they, you know, year after year, and they was always in our league, and we could just never get by them to, you know, get to the state or anything. But back to what you once or asked me there earlier, yeah, you know, I always dreamed getting back to the state because that was probably the highlight of my whole high school. And you know, I always dreamed getting the kids back and so they could be rewarded for, you know, what they have done. And so, but anyway, it was Utica was a great place to start. And, you know, I come out of high school, I took college classes and so forth and physical education, whatever. But, you know, as far as teaching you how to coach, you know, I used a lot of the same methods in my high school. We kind of had a run-and-gun type offense. And so that's kind of what I did. But I did develop our defense. I realized that defense was pretty important.
Mm-hmm.
In 1959, we played Esben in the finals of the regional, I guess it was called then, or district, I guess that's what it was called.
Okay.
And our final game in that was 93-89. So you can see there wasn't too much defense stress back in those years. But finally I got smart enough to figure the defense was important too.
Yeah, so you had some years there in Utica, and then not long after that, you moved just a little bit northwest to Gove County, and we're at Wheatland, right?
Yes, that's right. I moved to, in 71, I went to Grainfield, and that was right pretty much after they consolidated mid-60s or something, Gove Park and Grainfield. And as far as success, I didn't have near as much success there as I did at Wheatland. You know, they were still about Gove, and Gove was concerned about their players, and Grainfield was concerned about theirs, and it was a tough deal, by golly. But finally, we won a lot of games, but we just weren't very successful, to be right truthful with you there. But it was a great school. I don't know, have you ever been in that school, Dustin?
I played at Trigo in high school. We played them pretty much every year. Yep.
I always thought that was the neatest school building I ever seen. You know, the classrooms got stadium seats, you know, like they go up, you know, several layers right in the classroom, and everybody's looking right down on you. And it was a great teaching environment, and it was a great school. It was the best school in the country at that time around.
You had some time there in Grainfield, and it sounds like you came back after that, back to Osborn County. It took a little bit of time to get back into teaching because there weren't any positions available yet for you.
When I left there, I looked around, and, you know, I wanted to get back closer to home, and there wasn't any really openings around here. So I worked at Ken's department store. He hired me as manager. He had a clothing store at Plainville also. And so sometimes I'd run back and forth. And so I worked there 3 years, and then 2 years, last two, I ran a jewelry store, or Jamie Roskelly owned it, and he couldn't find anybody, and I wasn't much of a jeweler, but I took some classes and so forth, but for the last 2 years. I was always wanting to get back in teaching. You know, I remember on Saturdays, that was back when Osborne Streets, they were open on Saturday nights. And there I was sitting in there or standing in there in this department store, and other people were out running around. And I thought, man, that teaching must have been a lot better than I thought it was. And so I'd wanted to get back in teaching, but there just wasn't anything available. And so finally in 1981, a job came open, and that's when I started teaching, and I taught at junior high at Alton. And so Kenny Ubelaker and I, we drive every morning about leave Osborne about 7:30 and head for Alton. I think we taught there about 20 years. And So that's kind of how I finally got back into teaching and coaching part.
And we're talking with Darrell Walters, longtime coach and teacher here in Osborne County and Alton and Osborne. Go through now, because you didn't start coaching girls basketball right away. You had some other things that you coached there at Osborne. I know you're golf coach for 19 years and had some success there. And late 80s is when you actually got into the girls basketball. But what were some of the things that you helped with as far as the coaching was concerned at the start of your career there at Osborne?
Well, I assisted, I think, most of the time I was there in those mm-hmm. 20 years. Of course, I taught in, let's see, I think I started in 87 to 91, 4 years. I coached the high school girls. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I'd just drive back and forth, you know, from Alton to make that happen. But we taught there at the junior high in Alton for several years, and I assisted Kenny boys maybe 2 or 3 years, and Tammy Schultz was the girls coach, and I assisted her several years. I assisted on football. Portis never did play football. We didn't have football here. In the teens, a guy, Dan Brumbaugh was his name, he got hurt playing football. In fact, he didn't get hurt here. He went to college and played somewhere back mm-hmm. east. And he had a really severe case, and it affected him forever. And so Portis did away with football. You know, I guess they thought it wasn't the risk of getting somebody hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I helped Kenny with football at junior high, and I didn't know much about it, but he gave me the orders what to do, and so I helped out a little there. So I just filled in wherever they kind of needed me, Jesse.
Yeah, so then really the success came in the late 90s and into the early 2000s with the girls basketball team, and I know that you attribute a lot of that to the girls that played for you, and I know that Coach Jamie Walters was your assistant there for that time during that success as well. Just as a whole, and we'll kind of talk maybe about some of the individual years, but what was that experience like from building that, starting in 97, to being able to win some state championships there at the end of it?
Well, it was a dream come true for me, really. I just never had expected, you know. I was always one that, went to all kinds of basketball clinics through the years. And, I knew that there was a lot that I didn't know about it. And, of course, there still is a lot that I don't. But I went to all clinics and read all the books. Of course, it wasn't social media. It wasn't internet back in those days. But I learned all I could. And, it was over a period of time, hopefully I got a little bit better and understood the game a little bit better. But, I started again in 97, and it was, and the way that started was I coached there in the late 80s and early 90s. And so they needed a coach, and it was, I think, basically Mark Roadhouse, maybe Dietz and Ubelaker. Anyway, they asked me if I would be interested in coming back, and, I really hadn't thought much about it.
Mm-hmm.
I finally said I would, and, of course, that was the best thing that ever happened to me as far as basketball success is. And I had a tremendous amount of girls, early there. They was, and it wasn't just the what we call the, we've heard of the Roadhouses and the Dietzes and the Ubelakers and all them, but, what I was most proud of, I think, is the know, the ones, somebody's got to throw them the ball. Somebody's got to be unselfish and mm-hmm. be able to, you know, run the game. And we had some tremendous kids that, you know, accepted that. I don't know if they really liked it. You know, my coaching philosophy was a little bit different than a lot of people's in the fact that, you know, I believe that your best player should get most of the shots, and some people say, well, that's selfish, or that's, you know, that's not team ball, but it sure was, because, you know, it even took more teamwork, because you had to have those people that were willing not to be high scorers that could get the assists and make the passes and play defense, and I had a tremendous group of kids like that that, you know, didn't get mentioned much, but they were why we were successful. Nowadays, you know, it seems like coaching is everybody's, you know, concerned about their own kids. And, yeah, everybody'd like to start and all this. And I got my share of criticism and all that stuff. But there was kind of a pecking order as far as, you know, who I wanted to shooting the ball and who I wanted to have the ball in the hands of in the tight games. And but it worked out really great, and they bought into what I believed. And so it was the start of something great. That first group, that 97, 98, I think we'd win the state sure as the world that year. But Carly Tebow, she blew her knee out right after Christmas, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she was one of our best players, and we still made quite a run. I think we can, even in that 97, 98, or in the 98 year, I think we went in overtime, you know, and got beat, I think, one point finally. I can't even remember for sure who that was, but it was the start of something great. Those girls were the ones that, you know, got us started.
It's interesting that you talk about this. So you started in 97. That was my freshman year of high school at Trigo. And
really?
I know my classmates didn't like playing against your teams. I can tell you that much. But I think they got you one year, like, not long after I graduated, and it was a big deal, you know. And it's like, but that's where I wanted to go with that, because you built such a big thing there in Osborne. You know, you talked about the 97-98 team, and then in 99 you do win your first trip to state, and you get the 1 point loss there, like I said, Jackson Heights, I think there's is who you lost to there. But then after 99 you go 2000, and that was just a dream come true for you, wasn't it? A 26-0 year, and you get your first state championship.
Yes, that's the truth. I'll never forget when that game was over, standing there in Bramlage Coliseum looking up there at the clock, and you know, it was just almost unbelievable, not only the undefeated team, but the fact that somebody from a little town, Portis, that, you know, probably didn't know half what some of those other coaches did or whatever, but there we were, state champions, and, you know, it's just something I'd always dreamed about. And finally, you know, my dream, I finally found some. I've told many a teams that I've had over the years, I said, if you ever get as crazy about basketball as I am, I said, we'll do some good. We'll get to the state. And, you know, we had some maybe possibly that was good enough to do that, but probably poor coaching and whatever else. But finally, this group, you know, they were unbelievable. They'd go lift weights. This is just honestly the routine, how dedicated these kids were. They'd get go lift weights at 6:30 in the morning. They'd lift them for 30 minutes. Of course, that was back when kids, you know, coaches couldn't help in the summer mm-hmm. or anything like they can now. But anyway, then they'd go shoot in the park or wherever for an hour, hour and a half. So they'd spend their first two every summer, every day, every summer, except, of course, on Sundays. But they were just, they couldn't get enough. Our practices were anywhere from 2 to 3 hours, at least usually 2.5 hours. And, you know, then they'd stay and shoot till 7 o'clock in the evening. And, you know, they'd work on the trays. Of course, we didn't count them back then. But, well, I guess we did, the more I get to thinking mm-hmm. about it. But anyway, they just were. And, you know, I pushed them a lot, and I just tried, you know, to get the most out of them, you know. But when you're undefeated, And I believe that was the year that I think 7 points was the closest that anybody got to us all year long. And so it was a, you know, it was a, it was an eye opener for sure. And, you know, and it, and some people say, well, what was your most exciting, you know, time? And I would say that probably was it, for the fact that it was my first time winning state. And, and I think first round we beat Valley Heights. I think we doubled the score on them about. And in the second round we beat Inman. And that's Inman defensive record still is in the state book. We beat them 51-22, held them to 22 points. And or at least it was a year or two ago. I've kind of lost track. But no, that was in 2001, wasn't it, Dusty?
Yeah,
2000 was the year we beat Lori Kane. We held her down to 34 points, so we thought we thought we did good, you know, not really. But anyway, we beat them in semis. I think we beat Garden Plain, if I remember right. And then, but anyway, that was, it was just a, you know, our defense was stifling, and, you know, they all had motors. They could run up and down that court, you know, and make most people tired. And it was just a, it was just the start. And you know as well as I do that if you get something going, you know, our fan base was tremendous. Everybody was excited. And you get that going, you know, the kids, grade school, junior high, they see that, and they want to be a part of it, too. So that was kind of the start of many things, good things to happen.
So you did mention a little bit there, 2001, so that was when you beat him in there in the second round of the state tournament. You had a 51-game winning streak that got snapped by Garden Plain in the championship game that year there when you went back to the state championship and fell to them. But how much more pressure did you see? Like, how much did you feel like teams were starting to gun for you and giving you their best shot just as that built up, and then you were able to get a 51-game winning streak and just fell just short there in the championship?
You know, we tried to act like it was, and we talked like it wasn't, but I'm sure it was. That was the year that also, if I remember correctly, we played three games in a row. You know, it was Thursday, Friday, and Saturday state games. We liked press, and, you know, that's part of my fault. And, you know, when you got three games, but, you know, I was worried about the one we was playing at the time. And we pressed, and, you know, and I think really our legs just were gone. We just a step behind, and we'd never, you know, in that 2001, and we just never, you know, did regroup, and they beat us, I think, 57-45, if I remember right, the score. So they just outplayed us that game, but it was really heartbreaking because we, you know, had a good team again next year and could have kept that going. But, you know, I guess that brings up Claflin this year. It's hard to believe, the run that they're on, what they won, 130-something now?
Yeah, it's 135, I think, is what it last was.
I think it is, too. Yeah. And, you know, it's just, it that's amazing. But anyway, it was a great winning streak, and kids, you know, felt like we'd, even though we got second in the state, felt like we hadn't done anything, but, you know, we did, and you just got to give credit to Garden Plain.
So 2002, though, you come back and then, and you made it back to state and then played Shaley Lenning in the second round. So Blett had a long winning streak after that, after you beat them. They might have started that one up, but you beat them in the second round there and came back with a big win over Ness City in the championship. How exciting was it to get back on the pinnacle and be on the top again in 2002 with that group?
Well, it was really exciting for the kids and me, too, far as that's concerned. But, yeah, that was a great finals, you know. The beating Shailene, you know, she was a whale of a ball player and went on to prove it, by golly. And and then I think we beat them semis. We beat Sublette, and finals were Ness City. And what kind of was ironic about that is, of course, I taught at Utica, and Foster was her name. Kirk Foster played for me at Utica. And so they went to school at Ness City now, and so we had some good times and good talks, and he was one of the good ball players for me, as I said, played at Kansas Westland. And so kind of extra exciting to beat his gal. I think was about 6'2". She was a post player, really good. And so it was nice to beat her. And, of course, it was nice to beat Sublette, too. But anyway, that I think the only game we lost in 2002 was to Smith Center. We split with them. They beat us one game. And so I think that was the only loss we had that year.
Mm-hmm. And he, so, yeah, 2002, you get the championship, and then you make it back to the state tournament and the state championship. Then the next year in 2003, played a Mound Ridge team in the title game that year, and they got you pretty good in that one. But a 98-6 record for that senior class throughout that stretch. How much do you appreciate and go back and reminisce with the girls about that unbelievable stretch you guys had in that time?
Yeah, it was. It just but I give credit to the kids, you know, and the parents, you know. I had parents who pushed their kids, and, you know, sometimes that's kind of a subject that's a bit sore. Some people think they push your kids too much and they'll want to quit or want to do, but whatever they did was, you know, they didn't. They still loved the game, and, you know, they played in the summer league. That was kind of before too much summer stuff was going on, and but, you know, they played in all them, and some of the parents were real good to make sure they, you know, were playing all summer. And so it was a great to get there again was, I think if I remember right, we lost to Wakanda the first game of the season. I think we got beat 1 point, 59-60, I believe it was. And then we went ahead and we ended up 23-3 that year. But I remember in sub-state we beat Sacred Heart. I think it was a 3-point game. And then we later in the state, you know, we Uniontown, I think we beat them. And then we went to beat St. John's and lost to Mountain Ridge in the finals pretty easily. We didn't, but they had a, you know, heck of a team too. And so, yeah, that was quite a run, and it just, you know, it was something that I, as I told you before, you know, I tried my best to educate myself, and I'd get up middle of the night and think of a play, you know, that would, maybe would work, and my wife thought I was crazy, and I was, but anyway, you know, it was all worth it. Usually that play, by the way, that I got up middle of the night when I got out on the floor, I seen it wasn't going to work, you know, in your dreams and whatever. Everything worked good. And so it was kind of, but yeah, it was a great, great run. There's no doubt about it. Then in 2004, I really felt we should have, we got beat. Let's see, with Minneapolis, Ben and Nor. Can't think who would be. We had a tournament there at Osborne, and we got beat right in the last second shot. They had the ball, and I think they called timeout, and Gal fell away on the baseline. It went through and beat us, but I think we had enough material. We probably should have went that year, and, of course, that was disappointing since we'd had so many, and that's when I'd made up my mind that I'm going to see if I can get another state start over, and then, of course, we did again in 2007, my last year.
Yeah, again, we're talking with Darryl Walters, former coach of the Osborne Lady Bulldogs, longtime coach. Take me through that last, that was your last year, like you said, and you took them to the state and you get third place, you know, a different group of girls, a different names, really, than what we saw the first time around, and got to have somebody else experience that, didn't you?
Yes, it really was. You know, that was a, you know, I didn't know whether we'd be good enough to get there or not, but we did. We ended up 23-3 that year too, and I remember I think we beat Frankfort in the sub-state finals. I believe 58-47, and we were MCL champs, and we won the MCL six times in those stretch of years, and so, you know, everything just fell into place. The Schultz girl was, you know, our outstanding player we had that year. We had a lot of kids that really stepped up and you know, were the difference. And it was so great to get back, and yeah, we did get beaten. Second round, lost to Oakley. I think it was 50. Yeah, I got that written here.
Yeah,
52-46, or 46-52. We lost, and then we turned around in the finals and played Cimarron, and we beat them. I think by 8 or 9 points. And so it ended up being a great. I said it's time for a younger generation to take over, and I think they could get back another year or two after I retired. I can't remember for sure when that was. But anyway, Dusty, it was a great, it just more than I deserved, I can tell you that.
Yeah, yeah. We talked a lot about the, you mentioned some of the names and some of the success that they had. You know, you had Brooke go on to Washburn and have a lot of success, and April and Amber went on as well, Roadhouses. How fun was it to see them move on to the next level and have success there as well?
Well, it was great, I would say that, that's one thing I realized when I was coaching. I had these good girls, and, it wasn't going to be my fault if they didn't get better. And so, everybody, I remember when I used to go to clinics, the emphasis was always on what they call KISS. Was keep it simple, stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And, that was what a lot of them preached. Well, I realized I've been in a lot of games, and I wanted to play that I thought would get me 2 points in a critical. So we ran what we call a lot of sets. They really weren't plays, but they were just a couple pass play. And if the defense absolutely don't know what you're going to do and you run that quick, you're going to be able to get that shot. And we pushed those, and then we used our good players. When you got somebody can shoot like Uberlaker, we had I think 30 some sets that we ran, and that always ended up getting us at least a look at what we kind of wanted. And so, and same way with passing. The fundamentals say that. Good chest passes, well, that's fine. But against good teams, and if you're going to play college ball, chest passes is fine, but that isn't going to get you to the big time. And so, we worked on all kinds of different passes, hook passes, and things that most people probably wouldn't push themselves. And of course, we were always stress defenses, something that we played man-to-man. It was a switching man-to-man, different than most people played. And I can't remember who the coach at Wichita State was way back in the 70s and 80s, but I heard him one time say, you cannot have complete pressure, full court pressure, if you don't switch, when you're playing man-to-man. Because if somebody sets a good screen, they're going to be open at least for a second or two until the man recovers, defensive man recovers. And so on screens, we just jump out and set, they couldn't go the direction they wanted to go. And so basically we had pressure on the ball all the time, even at half court in, and some people again thought that was crazy, said, why would you guard somebody 30 feet from the basket? And there's some good thinking on that part, but my philosophy was, every time that ball bounces, I want somebody ahead on the ball, and I want somebody to give a chance to get a turnover. And those kids bought into that, and we had some quickness, no doubt about it, which you got to have if you're going to play good man defense. We worked on that, and what I'm saying for these good girls, Uberlaker went ahead to, she was an All-American, they won the Nationals at Washburn. April was the point guard, so you know how good those two were. I remember we used to go to the league there at Bloy, and I can't remember what nights it was on. But anyway, I remember people would come to watch April. She was a good ball handler and really quick, and pass. And I can remember people coming to those practices, or those games. They were just inner city.
Mm-hmm.
League they had there for years, and that maybe they still got them there. Do they still have that?
Yeah, they still have summer stuff, yep.
Okay. Yep. But anyway, people come to watch her, you know, and so those two were, they were just exceptional players, you know, and but they went ahead to win the Nationals, so, you know, they was pretty good. And I think April won, got All-American for defense, too,
because
she was the one we usually put on the best player they had, and we expected her to not allow her to do what she wanted to any time during the game, and she usually could. So we got against Kane and Lennon,
yep,
and some
of those. Yeah, I mean, it's been fun to reminisce about some of these times. Like I said, I was in high school through all of it, and I just remember watching the games and seeing how good these teams were. And then I got to experience a little bit of it right when I moved out here as well. So it's been kind of fun to go back over that. And what I know, you still go to basketball games. You just following the grandkids now, aren't you?
Yes, yep, that's the truth. I really did, and I still enjoy that, you know. But I have learned the perspective that it is a ball game, and, you know, at a time I almost think it was I probably put too much pressure on some of the kids because, you know, there's a lot of things, or at least a couple things, family and God, that should come ahead of basketball, but it worked for me, I guess, and you know, I think defense is where you can win more games than anything, even if you don't have much material. But you know, if you're going to play back and let them do what they want to do, it just don't make sense to me. So we like to pressure them. And I remember when I was in high school, the ones I hated to play with was somebody really good defensive player, and every time I tried to dribble, he was right there and hands digging and all that. And so that's what I tried to incorporate in my philosophy, at least. And we seem to have some success with that, Dusty.
Darryl Walters, longtime head coach of the Osborne Lady Bulldogs, had a lot of success. Darryl, we certainly thank you for taking the time to visit with us and reminisce about your career, and hope everybody stays happy and healthy, and we'll chat with you down the road, all right?
I appreciate that and appreciate what all you guys do. And yes, I got a lot of time to reminisce now, and you know, some days I can't hardly remember my grandkids' name, but you know, I never forget all those great basketball moments and the excitement and what it did for Osborne and the support I got from the school. And it was just, I was very blessed. That's just all I can say on it. Dusty, I really appreciate all you guys do. And you've always been a big supporter of Osborne Bulldogs, and guys do a good job. And Wade